Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Reeves, for our Health Matters Report.
Thank you, Tamika. Appreciate you having me.
Dr. James Reeves is an associate professor at the College of Community Health Sciences and director of the University of Alabama Wellness Clinic, which is operated by the college. Dr. Reeves also cares for patients in the psychiatry clinic at the University Medical Center, operated by the college as well. First question, Dr. Reeves, what is anxiety and how does it fall under the umbrella of mental health? Talk to us a little bit about anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety is a broad topic, really quite broad, in fact. But I kind of describe anxiety as a sense of uneasiness, maybe a fear, worries, and it can manifest in all sorts of different ways. Probably the biggest thing that people have in anxiety are actually common things that you hear about all the time. People who are afraid of getting into an elevator or afraid of a spider or snakes or things like that, fear of heights. But it can manifest in all sorts of different ways as well. Anywhere from fear of speaking, like maybe in a situation like this, or fear of being around others in social situations, or just a fear of things in general. So anxiety is very common. It's probably the most common mental health disorder that we actually have. And it's something that is broad spread, not just in the United States, but around the world.
And how is it related to mental health? What does anxiety have to do with mental health, if that makes sense?
Yeah, anxiety is something that's treatable, just like a lot of other mental health, from a wide variety of things. A lot of people think of, oh, if you have anxiety, you need to see a mental health person to get help. And that's true. Mental health can do wonders with medications, with therapy. But I like to stress to people that, you know, you can do a lot for anxiety just on your own without actually having to see anyone in mental health as well.
And talk to us about some of the triggers that you normally see when somebody who is experiencing anxiety. What are some things that'll trigger them to have an anxiety episode?
Yeah, a lot of different things. Like I said, certain specific things that people are fearful of. But some people have something what we call generalized anxiety, which is really not triggered at all. It's just a general sense of worry that happens all day long, pretty much most days of the week. And they have a really difficult time controlling that worry. Could be five or six different things, and it makes them more irritable, makes them harder to sleep, harder to focus. Some people experience anxiety as a panic attack, which is they may, at any given time, something may trigger it, something may not, where they feel like they're having a heart attack. They can't breathe. They start sweating and trembling. It may last for several minutes. So those are kind of two of the other types of common anxieties that people have. But it can also manifest in other ways. Some people have stress from a traumatic incident, which can manifest as anxiety. And some people get anxious during certain situations. You know, they have to have things ordered a certain way, or things have to be clean a certain way. And if they're not, they're going to feel very anxious. There's a wide variety of different types of anxieties.
And do these anxieties lead to any type of illnesses or disorders?
You know, if it becomes so severe that it prevents you from leading a normal life. So let's say you're really afraid of social situations, being around others, and you decide you're not going to go to any parties, you're not going to want to meet new people, that can really impact your ability to be successful in life and socially or professionally. So if it starts to impact you where it's creating problems in your life, that's where we start to say it crosses from normal anxiety, which we all experience, to a disorder where you probably need to look at treatment.
And what are some tips that people can take away from this segment to help them manage their anxiety?
Yeah, as I said earlier, you don't really have to see someone in mental health. I tell people, if you really want something as an antidepressant or something for anxiety, there's things that you can do every day to make your life better. For instance, get good sleep at night. Really, studies tend to show people who don't sleep very well tend to be much more anxious the next day versus if you get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So this idea that play games all night on our phones or Xbox or watch TV, really it disrupts your sleep, which makes people more anxious. Getting exercise every day has been shown to be just as effective as taking any medication for anxiety that there is. Your brain works much, much better handling stress if it's getting kind of a daily amount. You don't have to go to the gym, just going out for a walk. Socializing is very good. A lot of people don't want to socialize because they're anxious, but the more connections you have, the easier it is and the more enjoyable life is and the less anxious people become. Eating well is another good thing. I think people so often turn to fast food or processed food, and that's been shown to actually to create so much more anxiety. In fact, a study came out just recently that French fries are associated with more depression and anxiety. So eating more whole foods and a better diet is one way to really decrease kind of depression and anxiety in your life.
And what are some resources and preventative measures that you see or you want to see in improving mental health?
You know, I'd like to see people, you know, try to take better control, you know, of their lives in terms of working proactively to help themselves, whether that's going out with friends, whether that's making a conscious effort to sleep better at night, you know, putting time in your schedule to take care of yourself, to go for walks or things along those lines. But there's a number of very simple ways. Kind of people talk about kind of the paleo diet or the keto diet. Well, there's like a paleo lifestyle, really. Get back to you know, waking up and going to sleep at normal hours, eating regular, good, healthy food. Those are simple things that have worked well for thousands of years. And if we do those things, follow that kind of lifestyle, we can find that our anxiety and depression tend to get a lot better.
And do you see this in young people?
Anxiety across the spectrum, yes. A lot of children will have separation anxiety from their family, but even older people can have anxiety worrying about illnesses or worrying about family members or friends who are ill or things like that. So anxiety is across the spectrum. In a wide variety of different settings in age groups.
Just talk to me a little bit about how does social media play into anxiety, especially with young girls and body images, and they see things on there thinking they're supposed to look a certain way. Tell us about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, social media may have done a lot of good things in terms of communication, keeping people in touch with each other, but it has negative problems as well. So people, especially studies have shown recently with adolescent girls, the rates of going to the emergency room have really shot up quite drastically over the last 10 years. And people are looking into that and they're finding some commonalities between this increased amount of anxiety, increase of worries is associated with this feeling of the need to post things on social media and how many people like those things on social media, how many follow them on social media. And so there's a sense of this pressure to keep up in social media along with the rest of the world and their friends and so forth like that, that people didn't have 10 to 20 years ago. And we're seeing that manifest in these higher rates of anxiety, in these higher rates of depression, and, you know, feeling that their life may not be worth living because they cannot, you know, they don't have the friends, people don't like them, they may bully them through social media. So for the younger population, this is something, you know, very concerning, and we're seeing this in increasing rates.
And what are some red flags parents need to be on the watch out for with anxiety in young people?
It's a great question. You know, I think it's important to monitor your child's use of their social media and so forth. Hopefully there are parental controls and things like that you can go on and find out what's going on those websites that they're looking at. And just tracking your child's behaviors, if you see them acting differently, becoming more withdrawn, not eating as well, not participating in activities as much, maybe their grades start to decline, then start to ask them, you know, what's happening, what's changing about them, and finding out, could that be related to some issues that are happening online unbeknownst to them.
And what does anxiety look like in an adult? Is it somebody who's just kind of racing around or just can't be still? What does anxiety
look
like?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, you can see it in a different way. So some people, you know, may become very anxious when certain situations come up. So if someone seems quite normal to you and me talking one-to-one, but you go into a party or a group setting and they all of a sudden move to the back of the room or decide to excuse themselves, that could be a sense that they're uncomfortable in that kind of situation, or declining to participate in group meetings or giving a lecture. Sometimes people notice, I had a patient today who talked to me about how she has these mood swings when she gets in certain situations, become very irritable. And that's a lot of times associated with the anxiety. She starts to worry about something excessively and it causes her to feel tense and angry, and she lashes out in ways. And when she's not having that anxiety, she feels perfectly fine. But a lot of times anxiety is associated with irritability and mood swings, tension and so forth like that.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Reeves, for joining us today.
Thank you again.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.